Hello, and welcome to Designer Discussions with Jason, Miriam, and Maria. Today, we are talking about quick and easy ways to get press. Welcome to Designer Discussions Podcast with
Miriam,
Maria,
and Jason. Tune in each week where we discuss marketing, PR, and business advice for design professionals. Are you ready to get serious about marketing your interior design business? Our Designer Discussions Marketing Studio offers a series of in-depth, actionable, and done-for-you content to guide your marketing, PR, and business development. We want to help you transform your business and elevate it to work with your dream clients. Go to designerdiscussions.com/marketingstudio to get started.
Okay, yes, let's talk about not just quick and easy, but the easiest and quickest way to get press for you and your interior design business. Let's take a step back and just think about why is it that you want press? I think everybody who's listening to this probably wants, but it seems like a good idea to get some press, right? But why is it that you want that? And I'd say if you distill it all down, it really is to differentiate yourself from your competition. And then if you think about what kind of press you need for that, it's like I often feel like designers have these impossible expectations or ambitions, right? It's like when you think about getting press, people think about, I want to get a feature in Architectural Digest. Oh, I want to get featured in Elle Decor, you know, everybody is thinking of the most high profile, usually magazines. And I would say depending on what stage you are at in your business, that can make sense, but that only makes sense if you've already been doing PR and getting press for quite a while, because those placements are very, 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 very difficult to get. So that is not a good objective. And if you think about your ideal customer looking, you know, they decide they want to redo their kitchen or whatever, their entire house, whatever it may be. They go online and they Google interior design businesses in the area. If they look at a few different websites from designers and one of them has a nice press portfolio, you know, with different features in different titles, doesn't have to be AD, doesn't have to be Elle Decor, doesn't even have to be House Beautiful, doesn't have to be any of the really, really huge names. But if you have it and the other people don't, that sets you apart. And I think that's what we're talking about here. It's just to get a really robust press portfolio that you can show off on your website, on your social media, in your e-newsletter, whatever kind of marketing efforts you do for your business. And it's not the reach that the actual placements give you, but it's how you use them to enhance your credibility and target your ideal clients. So that's what we're talking about, right? How you're going to differentiate yourself from your competition. And it's not as hard as it seems. And we've talked about this before, and I'm going to reference a previous episode for more details, but I want to introduce you to a couple of services and a new service that we've never talked about in this podcast that can be helpful for you in your efforts to get press. And what I call this type of PR, I call it reactive media requests. And the reason is because you are not proactively reaching out to a journalist or a media outlet without any prompting. But these are requests that are out there. These are journalists, freelancers, and editors that are working on stories, and they are looking for input. And you go out there and you find the requests that are already there, and then you provide your content for consideration, hopefully inclusion in whatever story they are working on. And Maria, who's here with me, she's actually a veteran and she's done many of these requests, and she can talk to us a little bit more about that as well. Because the first service that we're going to talk about, and we've talked about previously, is called, I call it HARO. I hear some people call it HARO, but really it stands for Help a Reporter Out. And it's a service that has been around for a very long time. Actually, I think it's been around forever since I've been doing PR in the United States, which is probably 20 years or so. It's a service that is now owned by Cision, which is one of the big PR software companies out there. They bought it, I don't know, a few years ago. But it still runs the same way. So it seems almost a little bit antiquated, but it's the standard. It's where everybody goes. It's where a lot of journalists go to find sources. And it's where a lot of PR people and brands and small business owners like yourself can go to get media. So how it works is basically the platforms that we're talking about, their purpose is to bring together journalists who are working on stories and need content, and people who are out there who are experts and who have content and who can contribute that to the story. It's almost like a dating platform for journalists and brands or business owners. So it's really handy. And the way HARO works, HARO is free. They have some paid options, but it's not really necessary, especially if you're starting out. But the way HARO works is they send out 3 emails every day, and they're usually, they call them queries, okay? So the requests from the media that are in these emails are called queries. And there are a lot of them. I'd say on average, there's probably over 100 queries in each of these emails, and they come 3 times a day. So it's a lot of queries to look through, which is one of the downsides of it. But I will say that pretty much on a daily basis, there are queries in there that specifically ask for input from interior designers. It is rare that there is a day where there is no query that's design related. So it is a really good place to be. We did do an episode way back when, but it's still very current. It was our episode number 10, where I talk about how to go about, like in practical terms, to submit to the requests that come through HARO. So if you're interested in doing it, definitely check that one out. So HARO is the big one. I would say that the challenge with HARO now is that it is very well known. So there are a lot of people checking the queries, which means there are more people submitting their answers to the queries, which can make it more difficult for you to get picked up because it's like there's more competition, right? And it is beneficial to submit quickly. However, if you submit within, I'd say, a day or two, usually the deadlines are very short. So you usually don't even have more time than that because most of them are due the next day or 2 days after. Some of them are a little bit longer, but not often. But quality content is definitely key. And Maria, we can also talk about not using AI-generated responses for HARO because the journalists have caught on to that. So if you put the query in ChatGPT and you generate a response and you send it, they're going to sniff it out and they're probably going to blacklist you for the rest. So, you know, share original content, share something that's of value and that portrays you in the best light and really helps the editor and their story. Maria, what do you think about HARO? You've had quite a bit of success actually with it. So talk a little bit about that.
So I think it's one of those things where you're not going to be confident enough to pitch a really huge magazine right off the bat. It really is unrealistic for designers to only assume the placements they're going to get is one every 5 years when they have the perfect project and it's been photographed and you've submitted it to multiple publications and then getting that perfect placement, right? And realistically, maintaining and managing PR in a healthy way does look like submitting a lot of requests to see mm-hmm. if your project is fitting for their magazine and dealing with rejection. And honestly, Haro is like you said, it's kind of like a dating profile. You're getting your information out there with a large group of reporters and finding out what they want to hear from you. And this, one of the things I really love about Haro is you're constantly seeing what the newest writing content is going mm-hmm. to be about your industry. And I find this to be very helpful for your business, because then you can understand what you need to be blogging about. You can understand what you should be putting on your TikToks and your social media. It's a constant flow of ideas that you could be covering in your social media, because you're already seeing what's going to be published in magazines, newspapers, mm-hmm. and online content in the next couple of months. This information doesn't get published the next day. They do require it within like 48 hours, 24 hours, but it still takes like 2 to 3 months for it to hit their publication. And so one of the things that's super great about Haro is you get this insight. What are they looking for? What are they forecasting? What are they trending for? And they're going to have it published in 2 to 3 months. And you can take that information and use it to your benefit. So that's one of the things I think is super important. And then the second thing I think is super important is learning what rejection looks like and getting used to it. The first and only time you ever try to reach out to the press is with a beautiful, amazing project that you have years invested in and thousands of dollars into photography, and you submit it to one magazine and then they say no. Then you submit it to another magazine and it takes months and then they say no. And then you submit it to another magazine and they say no. Now you're, you know,
which is very common.
You know, now you're 9 months into this, you've gotten a lot of rejection. It's going to wear you down. And emotionally, I think that most designers are going to find that really hard to deal with. And mm-hmm. I think that having a resource like Haro, where you're just writing a couple of lines about a topic, right? So someone might be reaching out and asking, because they do every January, what are the newest trends in interior design? So you're going to be responding to all these publications. I mean, you're talking 10 to 15 publications are going to ask you in January or December, mm-hmm. what are the trends that you're going to be seeing in this next year? So as you're just kind of pitching different things, what happens is after 15 applications, you're going to get placed at least twice. And you're going to have a lot of data and information for your business about what is the good information and how is that forward facing. So if you get picked up by one of these smaller publications that nobody else is reaching out to, you might realize that your content isn't maybe fresh enough or different enough. So if I come out the gates in 2024 talking about the trend of the white kitchen, you're not going to get picked up. And that teaches you a lot about what people want to hear about and what they want to be seeing in your social media. And this really helps curate and craft your content by having access to what these requests are. So you don't even have to be getting the publications and it can already be helping your business. Mm-hmm. Two, we basically learned that if you pitch 8 of these Haro requests, you're probably going to get one. We've learned
eight to 10, you get one. We tested it.
We've gone mm-hmm. through this. And so once you find out the average going rate for being picked up, you learn that that level of rejection isn't a reflection of who you are or what you can put together, but just the society.
But you know, it's also easy rejection because it's not, they don't say no, you just don't hear anything.
Right.
So it hurts less.
It does. It hurts less because you already know that mm-hmm. they are going to be getting a lot of feedback. It's all going to, you're throwing together stuff within 24 hours. You're just kind of throwing something out there. You're literally throwing something at the wall. I've had people reach back out to me and say, hey, can you help me get research and information on, you know, how easy it is to install this? And, you know, they reach back out to you. But what's really interesting is that you start finding that you're hearing from the same publications and the same people. Well, where does that put you after 2 or 3 years of doing HARA requests? You can reach back out to some of the people that have already published you and already like you and say, hey, I was just wanting to find out if you're going to be writing any articles about certain topics. I'd love to talk to you more about it, right? So you can start becoming their go-to expert. And as Miriam said, we have also the quoted platform that I think
we'll
designers
yeah. we'll talk a little bit more
from as well.
Too.
So, okay. Yeah. So maybe I let you go into that, but I definitely think HARO is about learning about rejection, finding out what the trends are, and three, building relationships with reporters. And
but not being, getting press though, too. There's no easier way to get published than through HARO, especially when you start out. And at the end, I'll talk a little bit about how you can use it at different stages of your career, which can vary, right? But it's a great way to get started. And along the same lines, like we had both mentioned before, there is a platform called Quoted, and it's spelled Q-W-O-T-E-D. And it's almost like the next generation HARO. So it's basically a startup in the PR space, and it's been developed. It mostly targets PR people who represent other clients, but it's easy enough that you can also use it as a small business owner, as a brand, right? And we've experimented with it in my membership. Their purpose is to have you buy into their paid service, which runs about $150 a month, which I find that pricey, I have to say. I find that pricey. And I've been monitoring it for a while, and it looks like there's only really a few requests that are specific to interior design a month, and you get at least 2 free submissions. I tried to look it up just before. I think it was 3, but it's between 2 and 3. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but the point is that a lot fewer designers and PR people who represent designers are using Quoted than HARO. So the journalists that use Quoted, they get a lot fewer submissions. So your chances of getting picked up are actually higher a lot. So it's, I don't know, it may be 1 in 3 that you submit instead of 1 in 10. It's, I think that ballpark about hits the way that it's working right now. So it's a good platform to check out, and it's easier to use in that when you set up your profile, everything is trackable, right? So if you have any interactions with a journalist and Quoted, it gets tracked within the actual app or software. I'm not even quite sure what to call it. And they have keywords too. So it's much easier to filter out the queries that apply to you, which is a huge advantage, honestly. So it's a little bit more involved than HARO, but it's still really easy to use, and we've seen good success. So I would recommend that anybody who's really serious about wanting to get press, I mean, check it out. You know, maybe you'll like it, maybe you won't, and just use the free submissions that they give you, and then see what happens. Maria, we played with it together for a while, but you had some interactions with journalists on there too, which is really actually kind of fun.
So Quoted is different than HARO. So HARO is a list of, Miriam calls them queries, and I'm going to call them requests in case you don't know what that means. So it's, hey, I'm writing an article on podcasts. Can you tell me how a podcast has impacted your business? Mm-hmm. And so that's a query, right? That is the request for information or reference on a topic. And it is just sent to you. They don't know who they're hearing from. They really need to spend a little bit of time doing research on learning about who you are as a person, because they will reference you. You know, they will reference who you are, what your expertise is, and what business you work for. And they may even hyperlink to your website for them, you know, online press press that you'll get. And so they are going to research you. So it's one more step in their game. So the reporters are having to take an extra step through Haro, help a reporter out. And Quoted does that on the front side. So what happens is you have an online profile with a lot of information and all of that data already like pre-approved and up and on your profile. And so what happens is when Haro reaches out to you and says, hey, we have a couple of publications that we think that you are qualified for. So what happens is when you respond to those publications, the reporter already knows that you are a qualified resource and that what you're giving is good quality stuff. And you will see that Haro will say, do not give us any AI generated stuff. If you are, we will kind of block you on our platform. And so I, over on Quoted, they will know if you're using AI or ChatGPT type responses, because they kind of curate and care for your profile and how you are present on their platform. And since it's newer, I mean, Miriam, what is it, about 24 months old?
It's very new.
There are not that many people on it. Mm-hmm. And because there's not a lot of people on it, when you join and when you have a really nice profile, you will stand out and you will get placements. And one thing that Miriam didn't mention is some of the placements that show up on Quoted also show up on Haro. So you see a crossover mm-hmm. between the two. And if you respond to it on Quoted, you're more likely to get picked up because the platform is easier for them to use than if you just respond on via Haro, because they have to take an extra step, whereas with Quoted has already taken that step for them.
I think a lot of, not a lot, but some journalists were sort of experimenting with both platforms and saying, okay, I'm going to put it here on Quoted and I'm going to put it on Haro, and then I'm going to see what I get more. And I see a little bit less of that. So I wouldn't only focus on Quoted. If you're serious about getting press, I would definitely want to monitor both of those platforms. At least if you pick only one, I'd probably only do Haro because it still has a lot more requests coming in on a daily basis. But yeah. No, but it's I love Quoted. I think it's that's where things are going. Haro is definitely going to have to modernize its platform if it wants to stay attractive, but it still has so much clout. It's like it almost has a monopoly in the space still right now. And that, you know, that has some leverage, but eventually that'll probably grow. But that being said, it's still there and you should use it. And pretty much regardless of where you are in your business, I've seen it. Like in my group that I've been coaching for the last couple few years, I mean, we've had really great success. You know, there's placements from House Beautiful, Better Homes and Gardens, Forbes, the Wall Street Journal. I'm like, there's really good names that show up in there. And when you show that off on your website, nobody knows how you got it. You know, nobody knows if there's just a one or two sentence quote in there from you, or if it's a 3-page thing. Most people don't go into that much depth when they look you up. It's like you want to have the name recognition of these media outlets. And what I would sort of recommend is that these requests, it's a great place to start out. You know, if you're maybe a little bit insecure, you don't really know You don't want to invest money in hiring somebody. You don't want to invest a ton of time. This is something easy, really, that's very doable. And that can give you quick success, which is key because it makes you feel good. It'll give you confidence and it'll let you build relationships, like Maria said. You know, that can be really beneficial down the road. I've also seen, and then maybe at the beginning, you're not so selective. You know, maybe you're going to submit to more queries. Maybe you're going to submit to media titles that, you know, don't have the clout of a House Beautiful or a Better Homes and Gardens or a Forbes. So, you know, it doesn't really matter. You have to sort of, you have to practice, you know, and you have to start small. And then you can start, I always say, you stack your media placements, you know, and they will only get bigger. So as you go through your PR career, for your business, maybe after 2-3 years, you have, and you know, and they have 10, 20 placements that you have, but you can still keep an eye on Haro or quote it, but you're not going to submit to everything anymore. But if there's a really good one, then you jump on it and you already know how to do it. And I've seen this strategy being applied very successfully. And it's actually a great place to even place some of your projects in an indirect way, because a lot of the queries are going to be about trends. And quite often they ask for photography. So, and I wouldn't, if you have a like a tier one, super high profile project, don't do this first, you know, pitch it for a bigger placement first. But once it's been published, you can still use all the other photography that you have for these types of trends queries on Haro, and you can get probably a few more placements out of it like that. So there's strategies to use this all throughout your career, I would say.
One thing that I appreciate about working with Miriam on helping me get through these Haro requests is, one, she does pull only the interior design requests out of these emails with hundreds. I mean, it's hundreds of requests. She does pull those, but then she also checks to see if you would even want to be published on it. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who have blogs that are trying to write their personal blog, and they are reaching out to try to get experts that they can fill and boost their personal blogs. There's even apps out there, and I can say this because I'm an app. Mm-hmm. There are even apps out there that are like trying to circumvent the interior design industry, and that's like their profile and their platform, but then they're asking for interior designers to provide quoted information on mm-hmm. their blogs and on their website. You know, most interior designers say, right? So they are leveraging this platform in a way that is not as helpful for the industry, not as helpful for the end interior designer. And Miriam culls through those. She will go through and be like, oh, this is this blog, and they're just wanting blog content. So she will help understand which ones would be, even like she said, there's going to be some tier that you're not going to care if you get it or not, like Yahoo Finance, you know, and a couple other ones that aren't really a big deal. But
it's good for SEO, though.
It's good for SEO. And, you know, it really is a lot. And it gets picked up and rolled back out in the future, especially if you get like a higher tier one. And so she will go through and be like, these aren't worth submitting for. And there's going to be a ton where people are wanting to ask an interior designer to cull information so that they can then hyperlink it to a sales page.
With their affiliate links, right? So you
they can make a commission off a product and they can say an interior designer is telling them that these are the best things off of their website. So she does go through and check to make sure that those things aren't happening because those are like the reality of the world that we live in. Sometimes people are wanting to leverage our content in a way that's not actually beneficial for us. And that's been something you do have to be aware of. And if you're not aware of it and you are looking at these hundreds and hundreds of requests, you will get burnt out because you aren't getting the placements that you want. You're finding that your content's being used for them to leverage to make money. And I'm not saying any of this should be a turnoff. I'm just saying the more you can have a PR expert tell you which ones would be worth your time and which ones aren't is a great thing for any interior designer.
Yeah. And that's a great segue because here at Designer Discussions, we're all about hands-on tools and saving time, right? Because time is of the essence in all of our businesses. So in our marketing studio, we have a subscription for media opportunities. And it's exactly what Maria just explained. Basically, it's a Facebook group where I post all the requests that are specific for interior designers. And it's a huge, huge time saver because you don't have to read 3 emails every day from Haro. It's people who try it, they love it. They're like, oh my God, I never knew this could be so easy because the easiest and quickest way to get press just got a lot easier with that service. So if that's something you're interested in, we'll put the link in the show notes, but definitely go check it out and see, you know, how easy and quick it can be to get published.
This was amazing information. And if you want to know more, just head over to Designer Discussions Marketing Studio where you can find out more information. And we hope to hear you all here in 2 weeks on Designer Discussions. Are you ready to get serious about marketing your interior design business? Our Designer Discussions Marketing Studio offers a series of in-depth, actionable, and done-for-you content to guide your marketing, PR, and business development. We want to help you transform your business and elevate it to work with your dream clients. Go to designerdiscussions.com/marketing studio to get started. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Designer Discussions and all of the helpful information. Subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and share it with your friends. We look forward to having you back next week. For more information on the podcast and the marketing studio, visit designerdiscussions.com and follow us on social media.